The fate of a proposed hate crimes bill in Indiana remains unclear, and the debate about the necessity of such a bill rages on. I spoke with Dr. Peter Scheer, an associate professor of exegetical theology at Concordia Theological Seminary. He is one of the founders of Shepherds United, a group which has spoken out in opposition to Indiana's hate crimes bill. Here is Peter Scheer.
I teach New Testament here in town at the seminary, and also I am a founding member of Shepherds United. That's an ecumenical group of some 150 pastors, ministers, priests across the denominational lines, and we're gathered around three issues: the right to life, natural marriage — we believe every kid deserves a mom and dad — as well as religious liberty. So that's the kind of work that I'm doing, and that's why I'm interested in the hate crime legislation.
You spoke out a couple weeks ago during a hearing. What is the position that Shepherds United has taken, and why does it hold that position?
Well, we're very concerned about any kind of legislation like this. First, on a constitutional basis, that is, we prize the free exercise of religion. That is, we want to speak the truth about things that we hold dear, like marriage, which is out of fashion now, but also, you know, free exercise of conscience, because we care about, especially Christians, but people of all stripes and all beliefs. We believe that we need more conversation, not less, that the PC culture has tended to put a damper on these kinds of things, and we don't believe that that is healthy. And also, I think the 14th Amendment, equal protection under the law. So that's from a constitutional point of view. But there are more personal things that I'm thinking about, because I know some of the people who have suffered because of beliefs that they have held. And they're not haters at all. They're the kindest, most loving people I know. And I'm thinking of people like the florist Baron L. Stutzman. I'm thinking of the baker Jack Phillips, who I met in Colorado, a wonderful man. And I'm also thinking about Brownsburg orchestra teacher John Klug. And I don't know, a lot of people don't know his story yet, but he was fired from his job there in Brownsburg because he wouldn't use the new pronouns. So they said there's a kid who's a transgender, he identifies as transgender. John Klug believes that it's a political agenda, and that the child is not helped by promoting this new identity. So in order to be kind to everyone, he simply said, well, I'll just identify all students by their last name. I mean, sometimes I do that in my own class. So Johnson and Johnson's paper, instead of using the pronouns his and her and getting into confusion there. And at first the administrator said okay, but I guess then changed his mind. And because of that, he's lost his job. So it's taken a toll on people of conscience. And I would rather just talk about these issues rather than label somebody as a hater because they disagree, and these things are worth talking about.
The argument is made for a hate crimes bill in part because of the expression of bias against certain groups, not just regarding sexual orientation or sexual identity. And we've seen here in Indiana in the last year or two, mosques defaced, Confederate flags, swastikas, things like that painted on places of worship. I live in rural Indiana, and there's certainly more Confederate flags and odd things that I see out there that would make me feel uncomfortable if I was a member of a minority group. And I think from the perspective of those individuals, they feel the need for a check on that. Do you see that, or do you feel like there's other ways to address it?
I think, you know, we have to divide the issue. One is feeling uncomfortable. And I have to say, as a Christian, I often feel uncomfortable in a kind of a secular world when I express my opinions. And as a Lutheran pastor, I laugh sometimes. But then, you know, if I express our position as a Lutheran about what I believe about women in the ministry, sometimes the words just roll off the tongues of my opponent, like, you're a racist, bigot, homophobe. And I'm like, no, I'm not. Let's talk about it and get to know one another. So feeling uncomfortable, I think, is part of what makes a free society. Now, there is this point. The hate crime legislation was pushed again when there was an incident down in Indianapolis when a synagogue had terrible graffiti of Nazi symbols. And that was horrible. And that's kind of the way it's being pushed now. But I would like to remind people that that was done by a 20-year-old who was no doubt a fool and also had certainly evil in his heart. And But it was a 20-year-old young man and his teenage girl. And now, I don't know where the latest is on this, but when I first read the articles, I heard he could go to prison for up to 10 years. Now, how long he goes to prison, I don't know. But if he could possibly go to prison for up to 10 years, then my guess is then there's no need for a hate crime legislation because judges are already empowered to change the sentences according to motive and malice. But there's one other thing I think that needs to be said, because when I was down testifying, I very much felt for some African-American mm-hmm. friends who were talking about the strange fruit and the terrible history in Indiana of lynching, and it did break my heart. But I think there's something that needs to be said here, because when we look at something like bias or discrimination, there has never been, nor will there ever be, a reason to have a separate water fountain for a black and a white man. I mean, that is discrimination, and it's malice, and it's bias of the worst sort. But as we change into gender, then that's something different. Is it hateful for me to say, for instance, it is hateful if I were to say that there should be a separate water fountain. I think that's terrible. But am I hateful if I question whether there should be a separate restroom or bathroom for men and for women, that I'm concerned about my daughter, my wife, my mother going into a bathroom when a man approaches into it? Now, I don't know if you know this story. There's a teacher. He's a gym teacher, and he was asked to overlook the boys' locker room at his school. And there was a young individual, confused, but claimed to be transgender. Okay. But then this child, who is biologically female, then started to undress in the boys' locker room. And now this poor teacher, what is he supposed to do? Is he supposed to watch as a young woman undresses in his presence? Now, these are the kinds of things, and for that, he was reprimanded because he said, I can't stay in the locker room now because this would be indecent. Now, these are the kinds of things that I think the hate crime legislation, it promotes. What needs to happen in those kinds of situations, we need at the local level to work in accommodation, to find win-win situations, because we can acknowledge a person's status and what they claim, but because you claim to be something doesn't mean I have to go along. And that's what free speech is all about. That's what freedom is all about in America, is just because you claim something doesn't mean I have to agree. Now, you could say at an absurd level, you could say, look at me, I'm 6'6". And then you could say, well, no, you're not 6'6", but I claim to be 6'6". Well, the other person doesn't have to agree with what you claim. And I think that's the kind of thing we're seeing, because a lot of... It seems like there was a great push towards tolerance, but that tolerance has now ended up in coercion. And when I look at the transgender thing, you know, there's so much that goes on that needs to be discussed, because we're now in a situation where young people are encouraged to claim transgender. In fact, it's become, there's a great study done by a professor at Brown University, and she showed how it's almost a social contagion, or if one person claims it, then others also do. Well, who knows? But I guess the point is this, young people are confused. And I see now young people, not only are they being dressed up according to the gender they claim, and I'm talking about kids who are very young, but also, and this is where the tragedy starts to come in, they're given puberty blockers, so they're in a kind of a state of suspended animation. And then they're given hormones, which we have no idea what that is going to do to the health of a person. And then finally that, the mutilating surgery. Now, we could have a discussion on this, and I think we should. And I think it's fine that we do. And I don't mind people disagreeing, but I don't want the label hate applied to anyone who simply, to use it as a kind of a hammer to pound down anybody who has a word of disagreement. So those are my kinds of concerns when it comes to liberty, free speech, freedom of conscience. If we want to have the kind of debates, I think this doesn't help.
How do you believe a hate crimes bill would be applied against a person of conscience?
Well, right now, you know, this is a first step, because right now it labels certain people as protected classes. So you have more justice or more protection for some people rather than others. But you have to remember, it's like it's amazing how quickly things are going here, because already Jennifer McCormick, who is our superintendent of public education, she came out with a statement saying that any private or parochial schools that still hold to the old sexual views, that is, man and woman makes a marriage, that there is male and female, that they should no longer receive voucher money. And of course, I always say it's not her money, it's not voucher money from the state. These are our tax dollars. So I think it simply is another step by which to marginalize, and if it goes like this, eventually criminalize Christianity. So anytime you have a protected class like this, that elevates that status above all other statuses. And I think we need to instead go the other way and say, you know, the judges can already decide who is going to be, they can take into account motive and malice. But if there were a cultural definition of hate today, it would be, and I'm a Lutheran, but you'd probably say an evangelical Christian. That's the ones, we're the ones that are labeled haters most often. And I'd rather just say, let's get in the public square and talk about these things, because I don't hate anyone. As a Christian, I love all people. But I have different points of view as to, you know, whether transgender is a good thing. That doesn't mean I wouldn't be the best neighbor to my transgender. And I would be friends in all cases. But if they want my approval, I would have a conversation with them. It goes back to this Baronelle Stutzman thing. She would bake a cake for all people, and she did. She had friends all across the lines, but she didn't want to use her artistic skills in order to celebrate that which, you know, she considered a sin. So I would say to anybody who disagreed with me, hey, I'll bake the cake for you, I promise, whoever you are. I'll even brew a pot of coffee if you want, and we can get together and talk about things. So again, I think this is simply a step in the wrong direction.
Is there anything else that you'd like our listeners to know, or anything that I should have asked you about your perspective on this that I didn't?
Well, I think that it's simply a matter of talking with one another, because so often when I read the newspaper, I read supposedly what my position is or what people on my side think, and it's very rarely in congruence with reality. And you don't know how often you want to, you know, write in and say, no, that's not it. That's not what I'm saying. And I think in some ways we've been painted into a corner that is not true. I support my African-American friends. I recognize, and I also support all those who suffer or who have been made fun of because of sexual orientation or anything else. I would never do that, and I would defend anyone who was being mocked or ridiculed. I would befriend anyone and come to their defense, because that's not who I am. I just don't think that that law is going to help this situation, though. But know that people like me, we're open to dialogue, and we want the best for you. Even if we're in disagreement about things, that doesn't mean that we don't care.
Dr. Scare, I really thank you for your time and for coming by the studio to talk with us a little bit about this issue. Thank you for being a part of WBY Presents.
It's my pleasure.